morning. Obadiah, verse 10. For violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. Ha ha, you're going to get it now. How many times have you said that? Maybe when your brother or sister got caught after they tried to blame it on you. How many times have you thought it? Perhaps when another student gets in trouble. In our text, the Lord is taking the Edomites to task for thus rejoicing over Judah's trouble. Ha ha, you're going to get it now. For 1,000 years, the Edomites, descendants of Esau, had held their father's grudge against Jacob's descendants. This occasion of the Edomites' glee was the Lord Himself putting Judah over his knee. The Lord had raised up the Philistines and the Arabs to call Israel and Judah to repentance for their idolatry, to turn them back to the Lord, their Savior. But uninvited by the Lord, the Edomites had joined in, our text says, in this violence against their brother. They had known better. They had known that Judah was the Lord's chosen one to be the oracle of His word to all the nations, the vehicle of His coming salvation to all people. And yet, our text and the verses after our text provides a vividly climactic demonstration of how they had thus turned against the Lord Himself. They had not just remained even neutral. Verse 11, they'd taken a stand against God and His people. Verse 12, they had gazed on as their brother is taken in captivity, gloating. They had rejoiced in his destruction. They had even jeered. See, we told you that your God is not any better than ours. Verse 13, they joined in the plundering, seizing things for themselves now that their brother's things were vulnerable. They'd entered the city to feast on its destruction. Verse 14, they'd even stood at the crossroads, murdering the people that tried to escape, capturing others to sell them into slavery. And verse 16, they had actually joined in a drunken orgy in the Lord's own temple. To this, the Lord speaks His threefold indictment. You should not have gazed. You should not have entered. You should not have cut off. And that does speak to you and me. For our Lord Jesus demonstrates that on the last day we will be judged in accordance with how we have dealt with His people. So have you gazed on with a gloating delight when your brother got put over Dad's knee? Have you helped yourself to your brother's things when those things have been vulnerable? Have you joined in when others are ridiculing your brother? How many times haven't we thus rejoiced in our brother's trouble, taken delight in the other person getting his comeuppance? When we do that, we are really acting, whether we realize it or not, as if they should not receive God's mercy. But what makes us better than they are? If they should not receive God's mercy, then neither should we. Obadiah is judgment day for Edom. God calling them and us, verse 17, to flee to Mount Zion where there is holiness. Yes, on that very mountain where the Edomites had gathered, delighting in Judah's downfall, from that very mountain would come the deliverance that can alone save us in that day of judgment. For Jesus proclaims, I'm going to get it now for you. He was delivered into that judgment day of God, taking our place under His wrath. He bore our judgment, the darkness of sin's death, that you and I might be given life with God, the life that we can never deserve. And the Lord's mercy is such that in our text, He's still calling to Edom. He's calling to you and me to turn away from the foolishness of destroying our only hope and rely on His mercy. So, don't be found ha-haing your enemy or your brother. Rather, flee to Zion, where Jesus died and where He lives, for your brother as for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn 481, stanzas 1 and 2.